This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Coming up on 4 o'clock here on The Fan. We'll get to the Mets a little bit later on. They're getting their asses whooped on a Wednesday afternoon against the Chicago White Sox. The New York Yankees continue to rack up victories in a very quiet manner. Like a church mouse.
Just methodical.
Methodical.
Win after win after win.
And not just win after win after win. They are running away with the American League East. And I declared yesterday while you were out that the AL East is over. That's done. Congratulations.
Did you buy into that, Sean?
It's hard for me to fight it. Even Evan's been right about this from the beginning of the year. The AL East is over, and it was probably over preseason, and I was too naive to see it.
There you go. I'm glad you're coming clean. I also said not only is it over, it will never get closer than four games. And I said that yesterday at six games. It is now expanded to seven games. So I think it's not only over, I don't think there'll ever be a sweat. So we'll see if that continues tonight. The Yankees and the Angels, Clark Schmidt on the mound. It is time for the Lime Time Highlight of the Night, presented by Corona. You're about to hear the closing moment of a 13-0 run that spread the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter. And to me, this did the Knicks in, and it's courtesy of TNT.
Siakam, kicking, three, two.
Now, that's the three you live with. Why, coach? Because the ball hit the paint and came out. Collapsed the defense. 13-0 Indiana run to start this third quarter. That's going all the way back to the first half.
That was the Lime Time Highlight of the Night presented by Corona. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton had a great night last night for the Indiana Pacers. And little did we know that Tyrese Halliburton would become kind of a controversial figure in Knicks history long before the Knicks took on the Indiana Pacers. If you recall, Wally Szczerbiak, who, you know, he's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's probably the answer to describe Wally Szczerbiak. He's fine. I can't imagine anyone disliking Wally.
I love Wally.
He's okay.
He's great.
He's kind of boring, but he is what he is.
Oh, he's a great golfer. Played golf with him a few times.
Oh, I see.
Good dude.
All right. I'm sure he is a good dude. I don't know if I've ever even met the guy, but he's fine. Like, he doesn't give strong opinions, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, he randomly decided, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to spit fire. And so while talking in the Knicks postgame show, he decided out of absolute nowhere to start a war with Tyrese Halliburton. Take a listen.
Faster supposed wannabe fake all-star with the big miss there. And then the rebound by Randall. And then Randall iced the game with all the free throws. Last chance down three for the wannabe all-star. Let me keep it that way. He's in his second year. He's a very good player. He's not going to make the all-star team. A guy like Julius Randle or Jalen Brunson will make it over Tyrese Halliburton.
Third year.
Tonight we saw why.
Yeah.
Oh, it's his third year?
Third year, yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Right.
Whatever. He's a wannabe all-star and he's a fraud.
When was that?
So this was about 4 years ago. And it became a controversy because it was brought to Tyrese Halliburton's attention. And Tyrese was like, I don't even know this guy. Mm. And then he stared him down. And then Wally Szczerbiak, and this is where Wally screwed up. Wally made one mistake. That hot take, you know, really bashing Tyrese Halliburton, fine, it's a sports opinion. By the way, he's turned out to be wrong, and I think we all know that, and that's okay. Like, you're right, you're wrong sometimes. He came on the postgame a few days later and apologized. And
Tyrese did?
No, Wally Szczerbiak.
Oh, got it.
I know, I shouldn't have said that. He's a great young player. And I'm like, what? Why would you apologize? But that was the first kind of like Tyrese Halliburton connected to the Knicks.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, his game wasn't good back then.
That's
so
fine.
He
was a borderline all-star, in fairness. He wasn't what he is now, but he was a borderline all-star.
But he wasn't what he is now. And so that opinion is what existed then.
I don't have a problem with the opinion. I had a problem with him
apologizing.
Yes. Yeah. And then, like...
Mom, I mean, these players are so sensitive these days. Like, they take it so personal. It's like, get out of here. I try to think about the Mike and the Mad Dog era on WFAN and how bad they were to players, like athletes. And we didn't care.
How can you?
Nobody cared. You just didn't pay attention to it. Like, why do you care?
Or if you are going to pay attention to it, just say, all right, I'm going to prove him wrong.
Yes.
I'm going to prove I'm a kick-ass great player. Right. And now Tyrese Halliburton, and I guess this is the irony for poor Wally Szczerbiak, he never gives a strong opinion. He gives a strong opinion. Anytime I think of Tyrese Halliburton, and I think of them. They're like connected. And now Tyrese Halliburton is one of the biggest evil, like, stone-cold killers now in Knicks history. And we think about Wally Szczerbiak saying he's a fraud, basically.
Well, just a wannabe all-star.
He's a wannabe all-star. Meanwhile, he's potentially going to send the Knicks home twice in a row.
Right.
Are you mad at Wally Szczerbiak, Tommy? You should be pissed off at him.
No,
he created a monster.
Not at all.
That was 4 years ago.
I know.
You have a strong opinion. I think that nowadays, unlike, you know, when Teak was playing, it's social media. It's hearsay. Everybody's like, don't you hear what he said about you? And this stuff now lives forever.
Yeah.
Where if you said something, if Chris Mad Dog Russo said something in 96, we forget about it. Or if Mike said something in 98 or Summers, we forget about it. And I think a lot of our audience forgets about it. And now we're held to different standards here as radio hosts because it lives on the internet forever.
Yeah. Like, I wonder what Evan would have said about me when I was playing or retiring.
Well, it's funny you say that. So I found, I didn't even find it. My parents kept audio cassettes of when I was doing the overnight in 05 and 06. So I was at my parents' house. I took a bunch of cassettes home, and I'm listening to my old overnights to try to find what I said about Tiki Barber. Mm. Like, did I kill him? Because we could have a brand new segment called Tiki versus Young Evan. So I pulled up the October 30th or I think it's like November 2nd, 2006 edition of the overnight I did. And first of all, I opened with the Jets.
November now, maybe did I make 2nd, a mistake? 2006.
Something so like that.
All right, go ahead.
And so you guys won, I think. You didn't play well. And so I went back to see, because this is when the story came out about you retiring.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, did I kill Tiki? Was I like, what a selfish bastard. This guy's retiring.
And now he sucks.
Yeah, now he sucks. Like, I'm so curious. And so I've been listening to a little bit of it. And so far, all I got is I'm like very pro-Tiki. I'm like, hey, listen, media guys.
Right. One of these days, I'm going to be working with him.
Trust me, I didn't say that.
I don't want to have to apologize when I'm sitting next to him in 2025.
Or I clearly was just on your side. Like, stop bashing Tiki. But I'm going to listen a lot more because there may be a time in which I turn on you. I think I did. So I got to find it. And when I find it, we'll play it here on the air and begin a brand new segment called Tiki versus Young Evan.
I like it.
You're going to get so pissed at Young Evan. I can just see it now. Like a snot-nosed bastard.
I mean,
why do you say that?
To Tommy's point, I am not aware at all.
Why would you be?
Well, I'm just saying.
2 o'clock in the morning with me.
Yeah, but that's his point. Like, at 2 o'clock in the morning, if I was doing an overnight and I had a horrible take on whoever, Jalen Brunson, it would live.
No, you're right. You're right.
Hear it.
No, you're right. Tommy's 1,000% right. Like, I love listening to and finding old clips of our grit radio station, but they're sometimes very tough to find. They don't live forever. And nowadays, with social media and our own doing at WFAN on Twitter and the YouTube channels, anytime you say something, it does last forever. So what Wally Szczerbiak is dealing with is if he says that in a postgame show in 1989, it likely disappears. Some things will survive it. Like, right. I found something I will not play on the air with the old Pete Franklin show that I won't even describe what I heard Pete Franklin do. That's all. I'll just leave it at that. But I could not play it on the air, even though it aired on WFAN back in 1989. I could not even attempt to play it. But it was very controversial.
I'm actually surprised at you, Evan, because I only found something out in like the last 15 minutes. Today's a big WFAN anniversary. I'm surprised you can go to the archives.
May 28th. Give me the year.
9 years ago, apparently.
May 28th. What's 9 years ago, Teague? 2015?
Mm. No, 2016. Do you know what happened 9 years ago today?
No. May 12th. Hold on, I want to think about this.
All right. Evans probably doesn't even realize this happened, but it's a famous event.
No, not a second. Was it the Caitlyn Jenner thing with
No. That's a good one. 9 years ago today was the Harambe gorilla situation.
I don't even remember what that was.
So a kid at the Cincinnati Zoo climbed...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Into the cage, the gorilla cage, and the people at the zoo to save the kid shot the gorilla. And it became a major controversy.
Mike exploded about it.
The gorilla! And that became a famous FAN clip 9 years ago.
That is true. And those things live forever. 2016, those things are, they exist. So you could probably find that wherever. No, I did not pull that for WFAN flashback. But I'll tell you what we did pull for WFAN flashback.
What's that?
Something that happened yesterday right here on this radio station.
Which was?
Now, Tiki Barber,
the
Met lineup came out.
Yesterday.
I wasn't happy.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday, the Mets lineup came out.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't happy with the lineup. I was like, what the hell is this? Why is Jared Young DHing? And so I diatribed a little bit about Jared Young DHing.
Okay.
And then it turned into Sean Morag saying, you know what we should do? We should bet Jared Young hitting an anytime home run.
And?
Well, take a listen and you'll hear everything. There are a lot of ways you can do this that don't involve Jared Young being in the lineup every single day. And maybe this is the Mets saying, you know what? He performed a triplet. Let's just see what this guy's got. Played in the KBO. Good eye. We like him. I don't know if that's the reason, but I'm already sick of it. I'm already done with it. We don't need Jared Young in the lineup every freaking day.
That means he's hitting a home run tonight, doesn't it?
You know what? I said this a couple of days in a row on the Rico. It hasn't worked yet. If he's going to hit a home run, great. It hasn't happened yet.
Okay. I think I'm going to bet him to hit a home run and parlay it with Carl Anthony Towns under points tonight.
Can you even... Of course, you got to throw in an anti-cat one. Could you even get a Jared Young home run bet?
Absolutely.
Look it up right now. Absolutely. Because I think this would have to be a show bet now. Since I'm going out of my way.
We're talking about it too much.
What do you mean we're talking about it too much?
Like, to not do it now.
I agree. And then guess what happened?
And that slugged out to right field. Deep. Back goes Kaufman near the wall. It's out of here. Jared Young's first hit as a New York Met is a two-run homer. And it puts the Mets in front 4-2 in the opening inning.
How about that? Plus 600 with your odds pregame.
Now, the problem was, Sean, you got very, very fat. Because instead of just saying Jared Young home run after I ripped him, you had to parlay it with the under on Cat. Cat went over his point total, which was 21.5. I think he scored 23 or 24 points.
24, barely.
Yeah.
So you did two bets or just one?
I did. I parlayed it like a fool.
So you lost.
I lost.
Because a lot of people in the audience, I got a lot of tweets last night saying, hey, thank you. Not to me, to you, Sean, because it was your bet. And they were smart enough to just bet the Jared Young home run. And on the first pitch he saw, he had a two-run home run.
Unbelievable.
So, congratulations. We're very hot with this. So, the next time there is a show bet, we should tweet it out. Because I did get a lot of people saying, hey, I listened on the Odyssey app. I listened on the podcast. Mm-hmm. It was too late. I couldn't get the bet off because I was listening to it late. So, what we will do for now on is whenever there is a show bet, something of that nature, one of us will tweet it out.
Sounds like a plan.
One guy requested that Sean doesn't tweet it out because that person mutes Sean Morash and doesn't want to have to deal with any of his tweets.
Oh, man. That's sad.
So the Evan and Tiki Twitter's got to do it.
Yeah.
That's right. True.
Or I think it should just be Tiki Barber's Twitter account since you don't tweet anymore.
Yeah, you should.
Your only tweet will just be random like Brandon Waddell over 3.5 strikeouts.
Bet this. We'll only take 2%.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we take. Actually, we take nothing. We're just here to help you. Let's go to Tommy in Westbury. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys. Yesterday, I was watching Stephen A. Smith. For 20 minutes, he was ripping that Tyrese Halliburton is not a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Not a superstar, killing him. And I'm like, he's going off tonight, no doubt. You know he's going off tonight.
The difference...
Like, he has this thing that he hates that kid. Sort of like Wally Szczerbiak said many years ago.
But you know what?
It's just so funny how these guys open their mouth and the exact opposite happens.
Well, I mean, this is how you become a superstar, though, is have playoffs like this if you're Tyrese Halliburton.
I also think there's a difference between superstar and this guy's a fake all-star, you know, and all that. Because superstar, and we had this with Jalen Brunson when we first got here. We were arguing, like, is he a superstar? What the hell is a superstar? It's a term we use, and there's no real definition to it.
Well, I would say it's someone who's so well-known that every corner of sportsdom knows who he is.
So then it doesn't even matter how great you are. What matters is the market you're in and how many jerseys you sell.
100%. Like, you can be a star, but being a superstar is like LeBron.
Right.
Even if you don't really know basketball, you know who the hell LeBron is.
I think Jalen Brunson has certainly entered the ethos in New York of being one of the most popular athletes that walks
this city.
I mean,
that's fact. Definitely.
No doubt. But I think whenever you have a superstar debate, it always annoys me because it's like there's no definition of what even a superstar is. Wally Szczerbiak was saying he's not an all-star. There is something. There is a definition for an all-star. Either you're an all-star or you're not an all-star.
That's easy.
You make the all-star team or you don't make the all-star team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you argue if a guy's a superstar, I don't know. And well, that started initially when Jalen got here. It was is he a superstar?
Tyrese probably isn't yet. Because if they lose, let's say they win this series and they go to the NBA Finals and they lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder, is Middle America going to, well, Middle America will because he's in Indiana, but you know what I mean? Will most of American sports remember him? And that's the question. You got to win.
Yeah.
I think it's why SGA has a real shot to become the next superstar because he's the MVP. So even if you didn't follow basketball, you heard about him. And if he wins a championship and he's dominant and wins, say, the finals MVP, everybody's going to know about him. You're going to see his face everywhere. It's going to be on the cover of magazines and Sports Illustrated and who knows what else. And you become known everywhere, even outside of the sport. That's superstardom.
Yeah, and SGA's not there yet. As great of a player as he is.
SGA's not there yet, and Tyrese Haliburton's not there yet.
No.
It doesn't mean he's not a great player.
No,
it just means he's not a superstar.
And he's ascending. And think about this with SGA and Tyrese Haliburton. Remember how these teams got said player. Tyrese Haliburton was traded from the Sacramento Kings to the Indiana Pacers for Sabonis. And SGA was traded in the big Paul George trade.
Yeah.
So like these guys came over as good players and have now blossomed into really, really good players. I will say this about Tyrese Haliburton. He has had an unbelievable series. And he's only 24 years old. Mm-hmm. The guy's averaging 24, 11, and 7.
Right.
Like he's putting up massive, massive numbers. So
and yesterday was just perfect for him.
Oh, my God. And he doesn't turn the ball over.
Triple-double with no turnovers.
Like think
and
about
it's not like he was taking every conservative pass.
Right.
I mean, he was throwing some of these across the court. Some of them he's jumping and then dishing.
No, incredible.
He was unbelievable.
He has turned the ball over in this series. They've played four games, and we know the Knick turnover problems. Tyrese Haliburton has turned the ball over a combined six times in this entire series.
All right.
That is unbelievable. So we could parse the words on if he's a superstar or not. He is blossoming into a tremendous, tremendous basketball player. Ben in Brooklyn. How are you, Ben?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Appreciate it.
Tiki, quick side note before I get to my point. About 3 years ago, I was the head tennis pro at Riverside Yacht Club in Greenwich.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, and your son, AJ, wanted to hit after our match with Ines Arden Golf Club. Kid was insanely good for a beginner.
Yeah,
and
he's got good hand-eye coordination. And speaking of, AJ just graduated from Princeton yesterday. That's why I was off. So congratulations
to my
newly graduated, soon-to-be 23-year-old son.
And let me congratulate someone else besides him. Let me congratulate you.
Thank you.
As the father of someone who graduated Princeton.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Wow. Yeah, afterwards he tells me he's a barber, and I was like, yep, that explains everything.
That's funny.
But great kid, total athlete.
I appreciate
like
that.
Like father,
Ben.
Like son, yeah. Anyway, speaking about reliving the past, Evan, I got to say, I usually ride with you and respect your opinion, but you said the Knicks beating the Celtics would be a bigger upset than the Giants ending the Patriots' perfect season.
Yep.
Come
on,
man.
Yeah.
That Giants win was biblical. People cried. Streets shut down.
The problem with my own argument, I can self-diagnose my own argument.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you very much for the call. And by the way, I got to correct myself on something I said wrong earlier in the show that's pissing me off, and I said it wrong. So I'll get to that in a minute. The biggest problem with that opinion is that because the Knicks may lose in the next round, no one will remember Knicks Celtics in any kind of magical way.
Yeah.
So even if I'm right that it's a bigger upset pound for pound with all the points I made,
no one
will ever agree with me because of what happened next.
Right, but you were also simply talking statistically or whatever, financially, what Vegas was saying.
Yeah, it's a big part of it.
That's really what you were getting at.
Well, that's a big part of it. It wasn't the only thing, but yes, it was certainly a big part of it.
If you take anything else, if you take the emotional side of it, if you take the meaning side of it, there's no way you were right.
I would never use emotion or meaning because obviously the Super Bowl is bigger than the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Absolutely.
I was just talking about what would surprise me more. And I just remember sitting here going into that Super Bowl thinking the Giants can win this game.
Mm.
Going into a best of seven to beat a team that looked flawless going in.
But that's also the nature of the NFL. any Sunday,
I agree.
Any team can find a way to win.
It's absolutely a big part of it. But the reason I'll never have this argument again, like I just have to take my L and move on no matter what I think, is if the Knicks are going to lose the next round in 5 or 6, no one's ever going to remember Nick Celtics in a positive way, which is kind of unfortunate that that series is going to die in the like history of Knicks basketball. It just is.
Yeah.
Like, history is written by winners. It's going to be very tough to celebrate that if they're losing to the Pacers the next round.
Right, and the Pacers won't remember it in their history because, let's say they go on to win the NBA championship, the Indiana Pacers, you're not going to even hear about the Boston Celtics.
No, they're irrelevant.
Absolutely irrelevant.
What'll be relevant to the Pacers is that they beat Cleveland, who had a great regular season, and they were the number one seed, and they beat the Knicks.
Yep.
So I agree that it's an argument I can't make anymore, whether it's a bigger upset or not. Now, I do want to correct myself. In the emotion of talking about Tom Thibodeau and the emotion of being a loser Net fan, the Nets didn't. Tom Thibodeau did not come back from 3-1 down. The Nets were about to come back from 3-1 down against Tom Thibodeau,
yes,
and then lost a 7th game at Barclays Center. So that's what happened. They went down 3-1. They won a game 5 in Brooklyn, stole a game 6 in Chicago, and then game 7, despite the Bulls being riddled by injuries, they were able to hold on for dear life and beat the Nets at Barclays Center in a Game 7.
So the hapless Nets.
So Tom did not lead a team back from 3-1 down. The 3-1 comeback has happened. It's only happened about 3% of the time when a team goes back down 3-1.
13 times.
13 times in like 297 opportunities.
Yes.
But while the numbers are daunting, and they are, like the numbers are the numbers, it's very, very rare. If you think about it in simplistic terms, it ain't that crazy.
Well, it's happened.
It's not only happened, but think about it in Knicks terms. Can they win game 5 against the Pacers? They're favored to win the game.
Yes.
Can they go to Indiana and win a game 6? Why not?
And then it's game 7.
And then game 7, they're favored again. They're going to be favored in 2 of the 3 games. Like, it's really not that crazy for them to come back 3-1 down. Like,
they just can't afford any lapses. They can't have an error-filled game. There's just too many examples of them being undisciplined and not playing a high IQ level of baseball, basketball, and with the turnovers and everything else, they can't afford to do. They almost have to play flawlessly in order for all of those things to happen in 3 straight games.
And the track record is telling you they won't supply that consistency.
Yes.
Which I think we all agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of overcoming a deficit like this, it's just not that complicated. Like, when you think about it that way, it can happen. And knowing the way this season has gone, like, I just can't see them losing game 5 at Madison Square Garden. It'd be pathetic. And I'm not just saying that as like some kind of hater. I think you all would think it's pathetic. Like, even positive Tommy would turn. And you don't want to see him turn.
No.
Because he's been constantly positive for a very long time. No biggie. We got this.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose game 5 at Madison Square Garden to the Pacers, I'm expecting heel Tommy.
You want negative Tommy is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it's not what I want. It's what I expect, because I think that would break you. I can't imagine, and God bless you if you try, I can't imagine you remaining positive if you're losing 5 to the Indiana Pacers where you can't blame attrition this time.
My Twitter account will need reinforcements if I try to positively spin this. I will just say this, heading into that game, I expect a big-time effort from the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I expect them to lead pillar to post, and I expect them to have a landslide victory.
Landslide victory. Yep. You know what's giving Tommy
Computer
confidence?
Computer blue, darling picky, the whole deal.
You know what's giving Tommy a lot of confidence that the Knicks are going to win this game 5 at Madison Square Garden? The fact that I'm going to be there. I think in his brain, he thinks, I'm going there for a funeral.
Without him.
Without him.
If there's anything that could break the so-called positive Tommy curse, it is the mush of Evan Roberts. Because we all know you're going there to drink the tears. Let's just call it like it is.
I'm not only going there, I'm not coming alone. I am bringing a friend of mine. Apologize. I know that.
Is he a Pacer fan?
The man I'm bringing is a huge member of the coalition of Knick haters. So there will be two of us in the building on that given night.
Are you an adult or are you a child?
So it's going to be a very special night. And because of that, two coalition members at Madison Square Garden, I understand believing that the karma's on the Knicks side.
Is this coalition member somebody in the media, someone famous, someone we would know?
Nobody's business.
Just what do you mean, nobody's business? You just said it on the radio.
He's a dear friend of mine. No one knows who he is. It's not Richard Jefferson.
I don't know.
Can you imagine if RJ just showed up on the bridge with me? He's just like, yeah, what's up? I'll sit here. RJ seems cool enough where he would do that.
Where he would just be like, okay. Yeah.
All right, I'm good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nobody's going to bother me.
Let's go. Oh, he'd be wrong about that. I'm
definitely wrong.
John is calling from Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up? I have 2 points. I thought of one after I called Tommy. Number one, you missed the biggest celebrity in Indiana last night that sold more tickets than any of the other celebrities, and that's Paul Levesque, who, if you didn't know he was Triple H, all he looks like is a miserable bald guy. He should have said, Spike Lee, suck it, Chalamet, suck it. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up is that Tiki, I'm a Knicks fan, and I love the Knicks. I'm disappointed. But the thing that I remember the most when I used to listen to Tiki and BT is how every single time somebody brought up, I don't remember if it was Bauer or Obi Toppin.
Right.
They should have drafted Doug. What's his name? Halliburton.
Right.
I love Halliburton. And now he's killing them.
Right.
And BT is the mush.
Right.
BT is the mush.
That's a good point. Because BT would talk on national radio about the Knicks. They weren't good then.
Right.
But he would always talk about, why do we get Obi Toppin? Halliburton was available. Should have got Halliburton.
Well, if anything, that's a compliment.
Of course it is.
To BT. He nailed it. I remember that, actually.
But he called his nemesis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I get you. That would actually piss me off even more if I'm him.
Well,
because
now, in retrospect, it absolutely should.
But in retrospect, but even at the time, because when the Knicks are picking at 8 and you're like, oh, I'm going to get an impact player, and you want a certain player that went out and became one of the better players in the draft.
Right.
And you passed on him for Obi Toppin, who's a nice player, who, by the way, is wrecking you in this series, too. But he's a bench piece. He's not what you exactly envisioned when that pick was made.
He iced it with a 24-footer last night. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. But BT was screaming for Halliburton.
Well, think about how different Knick history would be if they selected him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember going into that draft, and it was a very weird draft because it was the 2020 NBA draft. So it was in, like, November of that year.
Where was he picked, Halliburton?
Halliburton was like 12 or 13.
12 pick?
12.
Yeah, he was picked 12.
Get out of here.
Two picks after him was Nesmith.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's right. Now, remember, the Pacers
didn't. But Nesmith was picked to the Pacers.
No. Right. Tyrese Halliburton was taken by the Sacramento Kings.
No, Nesmith was picked to the Celtics.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Right, how about that?
Wow, so basically this team is nobody who was drafted there.
Well, Miles Turner's been there for 100 years.
Yeah, other than Turner, but I don't count him.
I mean, Tyrese Halliburton was just a smart trade.
Yeah.
And think about the way the Knicks were built, too, though. The Knicks weren't built with their own draft picks. They signed Jalen Brunson as a free agent. They traded for Bridges. They traded for Karl-Anthony Towns. They traded for OG Anunoby.
It's interesting because it feels like this is where the NBA is now. And we haven't talked about it, and I'm sure we will at some point after the season is over for the Knicks, most likely, that the NBA is going to be made by Giannis moving around, other big stars getting moved, and maybe going to teams that they help win championships.
Well, this is where, and I knew it as we were talking about it, but you know what? You're in a good moment. You're happy. You can't rain on one's parade. Remember when Mikal Bridges was making big defensive plays, and it was F them picks?
Right.
Is he worth all the picks? And then Knick fans like, yeah, you're damn right.
Especially in the Boston series.
Right. The problem is, in that moment, you felt that way. Now that he's playing subpar in the conference finals, no one thinks that way. In fact, Knick fans are turning back on Mikal Bridges, but where you're really going to feel it, and this is where I think we've misread at times the Bridges trade, it's not about what those picks turn into in Brooklyn. It's not really about that.
Mm.
It's about what if there's landscape-altering moves in the NBA, which you're alluding to.
Yes.
You're not equipped to be involved because you don't have all those picks. If you had those picks, you'd be involved. And so whether it's Devin Booker or it's Giannis Antetokounmpo or it's Kevin Durant or whatever superstar you want to come up with that may or may not be moved, the Knicks are realistically not involved in any of them.
Right.
Realistically not involved in any of them. I learned my lesson from last year with the Bridges trade. You never know, but realistically not involved because you move those picks for that chip.
Well, you've moved all your picks, so you're going to have to use your players to make yourself better by bringing in one of these other potential stars. Let's say Giannis, but then who you're giving up?
Well, that's why I say it's not impossible. It's just unrealistic.
Right.
Like, sure, you can use contracts like Bridges, Anunoby, and Towns and make crazy fantasy-like basketball trades. The odds are that's not going to happen.
No.
Now, again, I've learned my lesson because a year ago, right around this time, we played a game with Tommy. It's a game I hope to play with him on Friday or Monday, which is, do you want this guy? And we give you names of guys that may be available, and you vote on if you want him or not. The one guy Tommy wanted that I brought up was Mikal Bridges. And then I reminded him that there was no way that trade could ever happen. And I was wrong.
Mm.
So I'm learning my lesson. It is very unlikely.
You were a little bit biased and shaded. Because he was on your team.
You say biased. I say informed. Mm. Except it turned out not to be the case.
Well, you hated him. That's why.
I don't know if I hated him at the time. By the way, that draft.
He just didn't live up to what you thought he should
Right. He wasn't the key. Yeah. I thought, like, think about Halliburton and Brunson for a second. And obviously their point guard is a little bit different. Those guys got moved. Jalen is a free agent. Tyrese via trade. The keys to the castle were handed to them. And they blossomed. And they blossomed into either superstars or stars. And I thought Bridges leaving Phoenix with the keys in his hands in Brooklyn would do the same thing.
Right.
And blossom into a star. And what I realized by watching him for a year was he ain't that guy.
Well, he's not the ball handler. So it's different.
He's also not impactful. No. He's also not the defender I thought he was. He's also just not the game changer I thought he was. And that's okay. Doesn't mean he's a terrible player. And so I think that was the disappointment. By the way, looking back at that 2020 draft, here are your best players. Tyrese Maxey, who was taken 21 overall by Philly.
Wow.
So everyone could have had him. Anthony Edwards was, you know, number two overall. And he is probably the best of the best, if we're being fair. No, he was number one overall. I don't know why I said number two overall. Then you got LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman. What a disaster. And then Obi Toppin, Jalen Smith, Evan Valley. Yeah. Halliburton's probably the second best player in that draft.
Yeah.
After Anthony Edwards.
No, you're right. And then Maxey's right up there, too, though.
Yeah, no question about it. We could have had any of those guys. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, react to the Mets finale against the Chicago White Sox. For those in the car leaving Citi Field on a rainy, coldish day. And get you set for the Yankees later as well. Well, if you're in your car and you were one of the brave that went out to Citi Field, sorry for that. Because the Mets got their tuchuses whipped by the Chicago White Sox. Okay, a couple of things. Let's be rational. The Yankees dealt with this over the weekend as well. As bad as the White Sox are, as bad as the Rockies are, it is baseball. It is very difficult to win every single game.
Yes.
So a lot of what happened in this loss to Chicago is understandable. Griffin Canning had it done. And it started off that way when he gave up a double in the first inning to Miguel Vargas. Mm-hmm. He was not helped out by some bad defense. Brett Beatty had a miscue. Jeff McNeil had a miscue. But either way, Griffin Canning stunk. And it happens. And it was really his first stinker as a New York Met. No concern quite yet. But certainly you got to keep the antennas up on a guy that's defying logic this season by having a really good year. So Griffin Canning stunk. The Mets continued to struggle with runners in scoring position. That's been a trend all season long. They were 2-for-12 in this game. In this series against the White Sox, they were 4-for-25. They gave up 9 runs today to the White Sox, one of the worst offenses in baseball. Do you know how many times before this the Mets had given up 9 runs or more this season, T?
No. You want to tell me?
Yeah. Zero. What? Zero. First time. They had given up 8 runs a couple of times, including recently to the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
They had never given up 9 runs. So pitching-wise, absolute dud. Brandon Waddell came in. He stunk. Done. It happens. It sucks. Yes, the White Sox have an anemic offense. It occurs. Let's get to what matters.
Juan Soto. 0-for-4?
Soto was 0-for-4 with a walk.
Got booed today.
He heard some boos from the 900 people that were in the ballpark.
He is now batting 224.
224? He's batting 220. He's got worse numbers than Anthony Volpe. And yes, I've seen that from 150 Yankee fans that are texting at me or tweeting at me. But here's the real weird part about Juan Soto. Go back over the weekend to Saturday night. Mets beat the LA Dodgers, and Juan Soto just missed a grand slam. Remember that? It was pretty cool. It pounded the ball off the top of the fence.
Yeah.
And what was so cool about that moment was not only was it a big hit and really cool to see, but you felt like, now he's going to break out of it. Juan Soto, since that double, is 0-for-17. And I don't know if this was said on the broadcast. This has got to be one of the longest 0-4 stretches Juan Soto has had. Now, before we continue and anybody say a word, I understand that yesterday there was a scoring weirdness that led to him being screwed out of it. Mm-hmm. He should be 1-for-17.
Right. Either way.
Either way. I'll get into that on the Rico Bronya tonight. We'll break that down for like 12 minutes. But bottom line is, Juan Soto right now is struggling as badly, Teak, as we have ever seen.
I don't think you've ever seen this. And today was odd. because while we weren't talking about the game, we were kind of keeping an eye, especially in the breaks, of some of the at-bats. And Juan Soto, one particular bat, I think it was the one it was the walk he had.
Mm-hmm.
It was Juan Soto dialed in, staring down the pitcher, doing a little mini shuffle.
Yes!
Like, it looked like, throw me a pitch, and this thing is going 430 feet. That's what it felt like for a second. And then he walked, and then he continued to go over. Dribbled, soft dribbled to second base, a strikeout. He just can't find himself, even when he's doing the things that we were asking him to do, which is show the attitude, show the shuffle, show the confidence. And I don't know how he finds this. Maybe it's an all-star break thing. Maybe the emotion of this big contract in the early part of this season and then winning despite him not playing well is just overwhelming him or in some capacity. I don't know why, because he's Juan Soto and he's never really had this kind of issue in his career. But for right now, he looks like even when he tries, he can't get it done.
He's a mess. And when he was struggling earlier this season, he wasn't struggling like this.
No.
Like, he would actually put up numbers where you're like, oh, for most major leaguers, that's pretty good. Now his numbers are so bad. Yankee fans, I give you some red meat because this is the other one that's floating around now. Juan Soto's OPS is lower than Aaron Judge's slugging percentage.
No, it's not.
Yes.
745,
746.
Oh, God.
How about this one? Juan Soto's slugging percentage is lower than Aaron Judge's batting average. And that's according to Max Mattis of John Boy. And Max is doing what Yankee fans are doing, and you have every right to do, which is having a good time and spiking the football for now.
Right. Juan Soto's slugging percentage is .393. Aaron Judge is batting .395.
Yes. It's a mess. Like, whatever number we can throw at you, it all describes what we're watching, which is a guy that's a mess. But I present to you good news. And I said this to you a lot last year when Lindor was struggling, and I'll certainly say it again. While I didn't want to watch them lose to the Chicago White Sox on a Wednesday afternoon, they did lose this game because they gave up 9 runs.
Yep.
They are still sitting pretty damn pretty, despite this from Juan Soto. They are 12 games above 500, winning 60% of their games. And they're doing it. Same record as the Dodgers, by the way. You know, the holy grail of baseball. And they're doing it with Juan Soto funking as worse as we've ever seen. And to me, that is good news.
Yeah, of course it
because
is.
Because it means that eventually, and I do stand by this, Juan Soto is going to get hot. Like, he's not going to hit .225 the whole year, though. Those may be my final last words, right? Famous last words. But they're winning despite it.
Yeah.
So what I say to my fellow Met fan is this sucks and it's painful, but as long as they're winning series while this is happening, that is a very good thing.
Well, I know the Braves came back towards 500, but they've subsequently faltered a little bit.
Yeah, because they're losing to the Phillies.
Right, but yeah, exactly. But the big
which is
thing,
annoying.
The big thing is the Phillies.
Yeah.
They were 9-1 over the last 10, and that's the team that they're still in striking distance with, but if they get hot, meaning the Phillies get hot, and the Mets just keep...
Well, the Phillies already are hot. They've won 11 out of 12. Well, they're hot.
If they stay hot and the Mets stay where they've been for the last 30 games, which is basically 500, then that's when it gets ugly. Well, that's when the Phillies run away from you, and this Sal Licata is in at least over thing becomes... Yeah, not in the way that I like it, though.
Yeah, so eventually Sal's going to say the NL East is over the other way.
Yes.
Look, the Phillies, to their credit, did a really good job of beating up bad teams. And they almost got demeaned for that because they beat up Chicago and Colorado and the A's. And my answer to that was, well, the Mets are about to play Chicago, and they're about to play Colorado.
Right.
I hope they beat them up the way the Phillies do. And so far, it's 2-1. We'll see what they do against the Rockies this weekend. And then they play Colorado again next weekend. It's not easy to just beat a team over and over again, as bad as a team is.
Right.
So I will actually be okay with winning 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. I want to sweep the Colorado Rockies and go from there. But it's not even about, like, concern in the NL East, because the Philly schedule is going to stiffen up. They've won 10 out of 11. They've been red hot. The Mets are still only 2 games back. It's more, they got to get this guy going. And you said there are no signs of him turning it around, because every time there is a sign like that double from Saturday night, it's like it gets short-circuited.
Yeah.
And even last night, so I got to the Met game late last night because I missed my train, and so I took the 7 train, and I walked in the bottom of the first inning. No big deal. I had Tommy's voice in my head. He's like, there'll be a second pitch, there'll be a third pitch.
You had Tommy's voice, and I had the wrong words.
No biggie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Should have had the no biggie in there. But I walked into the bottom of the first inning with them down 2-0, and I sat down as Juan Soto came to the plate. And Juan Soto hit this majestic line drive up the alley to right center field. And nothing defines Juan Soto's first year with the Mets more than the fact that Brandon Nimmo had his head up his ass. And don't tell me the umpires confused him. The umpires clearly signaled it was a base hit. And Nimmo's running back. And Soto's like, what the hell's going on? So it's so typical of Soto's year and the luck that he's had that here he does finally rip one up the alley. And he gets no hit out of it because Brandon Nimmo's running backwards towards him. But they got to get him going, and I still have a confidence that it's going to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
And a part of why I have that...
Like, why?
Because I've seen so many guys have this app.
What's Mindy going to do?
Nothing. No, you're not doing anything.
What can Chavez say, the hitting coach? Like, what can they do to make him be better?
I don't think there's anything I know specifically in terms of his habits that are going to turn him around. I'm just saying I've seen enough guys come to New York and struggle early on. And I would hope that most people, whether they're Yankee fans like John and Masbeth, who immediately called up when we were talking to Juan Soto because he wants to get his Fletcher wounds. We'll get to him in a second. But Yankee fans and Met fans know this has happened to all of us. And I don't believe Juan Soto forgot how to play baseball. I don't believe this is Space Jam and it's the Monstars taking it away from
me. I agree with you, but 220 sounds... It feels like that Pete Alonso season where it's like, he's a better than a 220 hitter or whatever it was. And what did he hit that season? 217?
What's he doing now?
Of course he's doing
it. He didn't forget how to play baseball?
Of course he doesn't forget how to play baseball, but it lasted for the entire season. And I just feel that this Juan Soto thing probably has something else in it other than just he's off to a bad start.
By the way, it is certainly on the table. Because when I speak about other guys who have come here and struggled, and then it all works out, they've had bad first years. So it's on the table that this doesn't change in 2025. And that'll be tough for us because we're trying to win. And it's going to be even more difficult to continue winning, especially if the pitching is going to come back to the means, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Juan Soto is struggling. But it is on the table that it's not turning around tomorrow. Look, Francisco Lindor had a bad first year. It didn't turn around the first year. Carlos Beltran had a mediocre first year. It didn't turn around in the first year. So sometimes it is a bad first year. I just mean, this isn't going to be some albatross. And I'm getting emails in my Rico email account. Like, it's Jason Bay. He sucks. This is a disaster.
No, he's not that guy.
I can't get to that point. I'm frustrated he isn't hitting. We all are. But I'm not getting to the point of he forgot how to play baseball. He got his money and now he doesn't care. But I get it, Sean, Yankee fans. Well, go do your thing. Whatever jokes you have, get it out of your system.
Here's all, and I'm being dead serious about this.
We don't want you to be dead serious. We want you to get it out of your system. If you have jokes, just say it.
Juan Soto will be fine. Juan Soto will be awesome. But just remember, on May 28th, 2025, Juan Soto's batting average is closer to Oswald Peraza's than it is Aaron Judge's.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. Get it out.
That's all.
Get it out.
Leave that you. Feel good, Sean?
Yeah.
Kind of, but you know what sucks? I like Juan Soto. I want him to see. As much as I hate that the Mets signed him, I genuinely like Juan Soto.
All right. If he's not going to give the Yankee fans what they want, John and Massbeth will. John, the floor is yours. Make all the jokes you want.
You know what? Say his name and I appear.
John and Massbeth.
The bat sign.
I believe in hating on Juan Soto. I got some, as the vice president of the coalition of Juan Soto haters, with Keith McPherson will probably be the president, president.
Right.
I got some numbers, some stats of how great Juan Soto's season has been so far.
All right, let's hear them.
This is of all the qualified batters, so of all qualified batters, meaning, you know, they have the appropriate number of plate appearances per game.
Mm-hmm.
There are 136 players that have a higher batting average, 102 players with a higher slugging percentage, 87 players with a higher OPS, 81 players with more RBIs, and, only one player has grounded into a double play more, and only three players have a worse defensive WAR war. Mm. So he just sucks all around at the plate, base running, defense.
I gave you your time. Here's what I'm going to disagree with.
Where is this war?
I don't care what metric war. I don't care what metric you give me about his defense or about his base running. They're full of crap. I watch every pitch of every game, and I could tell you he's been fine defensively. He actually made some good plays over the last couple of days. He has stolen a bunch of bases this season. He has 7, the same amount he had all of last year, 7 for 7. So I know it's easy to pick on him, and you should for his offense. Like, there's no defending how bad his offense has been. But what I won't just co-sign is he's a butcher in right field and he's a terrible base runner. And I don't care what the metrics say, because the one thing I'll always trust above metrics are my eyes. And I'm telling you right now, he has not been a liability defensively.
Yeah, he's not an elite defender. He's not laying out for balls that are getting in the alley, nor is he tracking balls off the wall perfectly or hitting his cutoff man all the time. But he's not a liability in right field. He's just not a gold glover like he was up for a year ago.
No, I get that. And he's made some good defensive plays. I mean, he really has.
I mean, every time. I mean, he's not going to make every play, but he'll make most plays.
I made the joke the other day. I really stand by this. You know, for all the crap we heard about, well, he'll hit, but he sucks defensively and he sucks running the bases. It's actually been the opposite. Mm-hmm. He's been really good defensively, right. I think. He's been a really good base runner. He just can't hit.
Right. He's more consistent as a fielder than he is as a hitter right now.
You mentioned...
No, that's not saying a ton, but it's still, he's just been better as a fielder.
I'm just saying, look, you want to give me all the stats about how bad he is offensively, it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, it's fair game. He's been terrible. Like, there's no defending that. But I can't listen to stuff that's not true about the other aspects of his game. But you mentioned something earlier, and I did notice this while the game was on. We did see some shuffles.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? I don't know if it means anything. Maybe it means that despite weak ground balls to second base, there is a confidence being gained, even if we're not seeing it, that he is starting to feel more comfortable at the plate, even if the results aren't there.
Or somebody in his circle, because I'm sure they have eyes and ears, said, you know, a lot of people are saying you're not shuffling, Juan. All right, I'll shuffle. And he still doesn't fully believe.
Nah, you know why I don't believe that? Because the shuffle thing was brought up to him like a month ago. Yeah. And he said, I'll do it when I feel it. So I don't think it's a peer pressure thing. I think that maybe sometimes when a guy gets out of a batting slump, we see it last because we don't see those results. And again, he did have a double off the wall yesterday that got screwed because of Brandon Nimmo's base running. So maybe, and I hope this is the case, he is feeling better at the plate even if we're not seeing the results yet.
I don't know.
No, you know what? We'll find out. Yeah, if he gets hot, I'm going to bring this up to you.
Yeah, you should. But I feel like he's not comfortable or confident in his batting position right now. He looks stretched out when he's swinging and he misses. He looks really stressed out.
Are you aware the
Not
Mets
are- stress, stretched.
I got you. Are you aware the Mets are playing Tommy, or are you just focused on the Knicks and their no biggie situation?
Positive Tommy has eyes and ears everywhere. Positive Tommy's always focused on everything. So I am well aware what's going on with the Mets. I am well aware what's going on with the Knicks. So when it comes to Juan Soto, I would just say no biggie.
No biggie. Mm.
No biggie.
No biggie.
No biggie.
No biggie.
All good.
Oh. Wonder how long that lasts.
I was curious, like
15 years,
if the no biggie was going to bother me if it involves my team. And I got to tell you, I'm smiling as you say no biggie.
Don't
about
you
Juan
feel
Soto.
Better?
I do.
Traffic, no biggie. Mets lose, no biggie. Juan Soto grounds out the second, no biggie.
I show up late for a Met game yesterday, no biggie.
No biggie.
I really did think of you as I walked in. I was like, you know, Tommy always says there's a second pitch, there's a third pitch, there's a fourth pitch,
and they all look like the first pitch, don't they?
I watched the game on my phone while I was leaving the 7 train.
Oh boy.
And I saw Miguel Vargas' home run. I saw it. And I got down and I sat there and everything was great. And then the Mets came back. They had a bunch of home runs. They won the game.
It was no biggie.
It was no biggie.
So don't stress over your travel plans. Get in a Citi Field. Don't park your car in the parking lot at 6 a.m. It's no biggie.
No. I'm still going to do that. Unfortunately, yesterday, I don't know why, the subways were just running really slow. And I don't know if, like, the subway system was basically saying to us, hey, it's
don't
Tuesday after Memorial.
Don't you take the train?
Yes, I just said.
I mean,
the railroad.
The railroad.
Well, you got to take both. You got to take the railroad to Penn Station, and then from Penn Station, I take the 1-2-3 down to where we work here in Lower Manhattan.
Got it.
So I take both. So when I was taking the subway back up to Penn Station to get on the LIRR, it was just running really slow. And I noticed that even coming to work from Penn Station. So I was figuring with Morash, because he was dealing with the same crap, I was like, are they just treating Memorial Day Tuesday like Memorial Day Monday?
It was odd.
It was odd.
Yeah, like usually they run every 4 minutes. It was every 7 minutes.
It was weird,
and then on it was slower. Yeah, I got home late too, but you know, no biggie.
No biggie. We made it home. You got to see the Knicks lose.
Yeah.
I got to see the Mets win. The Mets did lose this game to the Chicago White Sox 9-4. More of your calls from Met fans leaving the ballpark. And Knicks fans, how we feeling? It hasn't been 24 hours yet, but this season is not over yet. We also have a Cinco de 5-0 coming up in a few minutes. Sean will give us an updated list.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.